Welcome to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation of Big Z Sports is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Now, the Big Z Sports team of Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. They're a family-owned and operated business conveniently located in New Philadelphia. Action Extreme Sports can provide you with the latest and best power sports products. Check them out on their website and on Facebook. Find Action Extreme Sports on Facebook and online, AESRacing.com. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy with you on Monday, January 15th, after a big weekend of high school tournament action. We'll get to that here in just a minute. NFL playoffs, some NBA action as well, and some Major League Baseball news, I guess, we'll talk a little bit about. But high school basketball, most games were canceled over the weekend on Friday and Saturday, but they still had a country in the classic out at Highland High School in Berlin, Chris.
It was actually the classic in the country, Joe.
What'd I say? But, country in the classic? There we go. You know
but,
what I meant.
Nonetheless, yes, there was some girls' games on Saturday. Of course, like you had mentioned, Joe, all those games on Friday night canceling out. Of course, our show got canceled because of the weather, the ice and snow. You guys made that call, and I think it ended up being a good call. The roads got real nasty real quickly, and then Saturday's games, most of those girls' games canceled as well. But the classic in the country, out at Highland High School, the Perry Reese Center, and Regis Jesuit from Aurora, Colorado, they outlasted Highland 46-40 to wrap up the first day of competition on Saturday, those games just being pushed back a little bit. Regis Jesuit improves to 11-2 as the Lady Hawks drop to 9-3. Kennedy Slaybaugh, the only Hawk in double figures with 13 points. Sarah Keim added 9. And then Sheridan, they surged in the second half to defeat West Holmes 52-33. That game was knotted at 22 at the break. Kaylor Peroni led the Lady Knights with 11 as they fall to 2-11. The games continued yesterday, of course, and today, Tuskegee Valley, they played at 10 a.m. this morning. That game going on right now. And then Highland wraps the classic in the country up tonight at 8 p.m. Wrestling action on Saturday. Carrollton's Ben Pasek defeated three-time state qualifier Xander Gore of Olin Tangi 9-1 in an injury fault to end up capturing the 145-pound wrestling title at the prestigious Top Gun Invitational. Justin Shaw was a runner-up for Carrollton. Brendan Daniels, Alex Carruthers, and Robbie Hoops all placed for Carrollton. They finished 8th in the team standings. And then Claymont, Max Peters led the Mustangs with a 5th-place finish at 138. Jarrett Warrington, Brian Cadel, Caden Bunning, Jerome Tucker, and Lyle Clark all placed. The Mustangs finished 12th in the team standings. That is your high school sports report for the 15th. Of January.
Yeah, on this Martin Luther King's Day, happy Martin Luther King's Jr. Day to everybody. Hey, now are they going to have to make up all these games that they missed here and there? And that will, I'm sure, delay a few things, right?
It will, yes. And I talked to a bunch of the athletic directors on Friday when they were canceling games for the weekend. They did middle school, usually district-wide all weekend. But they said they will get out the announcement of when the games are going to be made up. Some of them have already been rescheduled. I know I've got an email from Bill Love to get to, but we'll talk about those games when they come.
Tim McCrate sent out an email today, too, of all the Dover games that are rescheduled. I think that it's just like pretty much like in football. If there's a game that's canceled if it's a game that's non-league play, they can probably just wash it away. But if it's a league game, they have to play it. So I'm not 100% sure on that, but I believe that's kind of the way it works. It works that way in softball and soccer, too.
Yeah, of course, Friday we'll have you updated once again on all the latest with high school sports here in Tuscarawas County when we have our Big Z Sports Show as it returns on Friday. Of course, this is the weekly podcast brought to you by Action Extreme Sports, AESRacing.com. You can see more there. The banner right there. Thanks for that, Chris Kale.
Hey, it's
banner's doing my job for me.
You don't have to look backwards at it this week.
You're right. You don't.
Yeah.
You know,
yes. And did you know that we have a celebrity in the studio, Eric?
No. Who's
that? We do. It is the lead singer of the Flock of Seagulls.
Oh, my God.
There he is. He trimmed the beard, but the hair is just a little, I don't know if it's a bit
head. I was going to transition into this, but now I'll let Joe do it. Joe, the game yesterday, we'll get to the game Saturday after this, but the game's yesterday much more intriguing than Saturday's games. What was the first one that kicked off yesterday?
The first one, actually, believe it or not, I didn't want to watch, but I actually wasn't feeling too great yesterday, so I actually slept through most of it through text messages that you were firing out. I would wake up and be like, man, Pittsburgh must be getting their butts kicked.
And I really don't want to talk about this game.
It was 28-7, and I'm like, what is going on? And I fell back asleep, and I woke up late in the fourth quarter when it was getting good, so I actually saw the end of the game, which is really good. Jacksonville just came to play, and you know, I think the Steelers were looking past them a little bit. They're going to say that they weren't, but you know that they were because they wanted that matchup with New England. Unfortunately, they played better this time than they did back in, what, week five when Jacksonville really just took them to the woodshed. But Ben, over 460 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, better than the 5 interceptions that he threw in the first game. But you know what? This defense just couldn't stop Jacksonville's offense yesterday. And, you know, it turned into be a shootout. But the Steelers, I don't think they were ready to play. I think they were looking past them a little bit. And this team really hasn't been the same since they lost Ryan Shazier to that injury. And obviously, and Chris is going to say I'm silly for saying this, but I really think when they cut James Harrison, that was a little bit of the glue to this defense and a little bit of glue to the team. If you remember, like Mike Napoli, we always talked about with the Indians, he was that glue to that clubhouse. I think that's the way Shazier and Harrison are for that team. They don't have either one of those guys, and I think they kind of fell apart a little bit.
Shazier, I can see that. Harrison, he wasn't playing much throughout the season.
Right. You don't have to play much to be the glue
to a locker room.
James Harrison was only active for 4 games.
But he's still in the locker room, right?
Snaps. He's not in the locker room when he's not active. He's not even dressed. He's not even on the sidelines.
Sure he is.
When he's not in meetings and he's sleeping through meetings, the guy isn't a part of your – he's not the glue of
your
team.
Well, hey, he's almost 40 years old, dude. He needs his nap every now and again. Of course, the final 45-42 Jacksonville over Pittsburgh. The Jags jumped up on the Steelers early. Before you really knew it, it was 21-0, then became 21-7, then after the scoop six became 28-7 at halftime, 28-14. Chris, what are you thinking early in that game? You see your team, of course, Chris Kale, if you guys don't know, the resident Steelers fan, what's going through your mind as you see Jacksonville take the lead, then build their lead, then build upon that lead once again?
I can't say that on air.
Give us the clean
just
version.
Saying. All right. No, in all honesty, I mean, Ben put him in a bad spot with the interception. Absolute
great. It was a great pick, though.
It was a great.
It's not like it was that horrible of a throw. I mean,
that was a bad throw.
It goes down as a pick under Ben's name, but
I just don't think you make that throw, and Ben knows that. And then they start clawing their way back, and then Ben. People can say what they want. It is a hindrance sometimes when he holds on to the ball too long, but how many times does he hold on to the ball too long and make an extraordinary play? So I don't take that as you know, some of these Steeler fans out there saying, oh, Ben held on to the ball too long again. Well, yeah, how many plays does he make when he does that? But, yeah, he held on to the ball a little bit too long in that instance and got the strip sack that ended up getting returned for the scoop and score. And that was – those two plays kind of did him in. The fourth and ones were terrible. I don't understand how you have a 6'5 quarterback and you're a half a yard away from a first down. You have one of the best centers in all of football, one of the best guards in DeCastro in all of football, and you're going to sit there and throw a pitch 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage and try to let Le'Veon Bell run outside against the number one defense and one of the fastest defenses in the NFL. That makes no sense. Then they turn around and have fourth and one later in the game and try to throw a pass across the middle. Yeah, Juju was being held a little bit on the play, but whatever. You still don't make that play. Quarterback sneak.
You know, but Ben said it in the press conference, they haven't run it for years.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, they haven't ran it in years, but it's not like the guy don't know how to quarterback sneak. He's been playing
football his whole life. It's not like a flea flick or triple reverse.
It's a quarterback. You snap the ball and you go behind the center.
And you fall forward when you're 6'5". Who are you blaming? You blaming the coaching staff? You blaming the player? Is there too much blame to go around? I mean, as a fan of the organization, why did they lose we're asking.
I think it was terrible coaching. I mean, I think you put some of that on Tomlin's head with especially the whole onside kick deal. I mean, you got over 2 minutes. You've got two timeouts and the two-minute warning. So, in a sense, you've got three timeouts. You kick the ball deep. We all know that. You don't try an onside kick when you have timeouts like that because you end up giving them the ball in their own territory. So you turn around and also the ball doesn't go 10 yards, so you tack on another 10 yards. They got the ball at the 30-yard line. I mean, you're setting them up already in field goal position. It doesn't matter if you stop them or not. Kick the ball deep. Take your chances on they're going to run the ball because they've got to force them to use timeouts. So you take the defense who's been good all year, can stop a running game three times and get the ball back. And we wouldn't even be talking about it.
They weren't able to stop the run.
And Mike Tomlin said in his press conference, the reason they kicked the onside kick is because they haven't stopped them all day.
But they did stop it.
But they didn't.
But they did. Did they not stop them on three consecutive plays after that onside kick, called the timeouts, got the two-minute warning, and forced them to kick a field goal? They didn't go down and score a touchdown. They had to kick a field goal. So they stopped them. But if they would have done that at the other end of the field, different story.
But look at their rush defense yesterday. They gave up almost 5 yards a carry. Two times, that's a first down ball game.
But that's not what happened.
But I'm just saying that's why he kicked an onside kick to try to get it back because he wasn't stopping
Joe,
him.
Joe, how many times does onside kick work? How many times?
It doesn't work very often, but
okay,
you know what?
How many, is your odds better at stopping a team running a ball
not
three
yesterday.
Times in the, down at the 20-yard line or kicking an onside
not
kick?
Not yesterday. The Steelers were not stopping. Oh, they could not stop their offense yesterday.
Can't talk to them, but that's okay.
I'm just going by what the stats say.
I'd probably kick it deep in that situation, to be honest with you.
I mean, I would kick it deep.
But you're sitting here arguing with me.
No, I'm saying he argued why he kicked the onside kick because he said he wasn't stopping him.
But the argument's invalid because it's not. Uh-huh. He's basically saying that's why I did it, but was it the right call? No, it wasn't.
Joe,
neither was the calls on fourth down, even though they got two passing touchdowns on fourth down, which blew my mind.
Yeah, the one before the half was unreal. Joe brought up the rushing statistic. Jags ran it 35 times, 164 yards. Leonard Fournette, though, he was a beast. He had three touchdowns, 25 carries, 109 yards. That was really the great kind of equalizer in that game, really, because this may blow your mind, this stat right here, which I just looked up. The Steelers actually ran 17 more plays. Mm-hmm. Then the Jaguars did 78 plays for Pittsburgh, 61 for Jacksonville. And like I said, the running game was the great equalizer. But Joe brought up, really kind of both of you brought up the coaching a little bit and the team's not ready to play. I think that falls squarely on the coaching. Yeah, players are out there making plays, but Pittsburgh didn't come ready to play that game. They didn't seem up for that game. Is Pittsburgh better than Jacksonville? I think we would all agree yes, even though Jacksonville's beat them two times.
You? I was going to say, how can you? They beat them twice on their home field.
Is Pittsburgh better than Jacksonville? Yeah, Pittsburgh was favored in this game. It's just one of those. It's a conundrum. I mean,
it stinks as a fan because you look at a team that should be in the Super Bowl. I think they are a Super Bowl caliber team out of the AFC. They already beat New England, in my opinion, and everybody else. 90% of the other people in the country agree with that. I think it's just such a letdown. But I will say this: I love it how you have fans come out of the woodwork and talk about a team that has nothing to do with their team. And all I'm going to say is just I remember that because it will come back around. You know, you can go ahead. Hey, look, if your team beats my team, you have the right to talk trash. My team beats your team, you have the right to talk trash. When your team doesn't even have anything to do with it, stay out of it. Let it alone. Because you're just opening yourself up to make yourself look like a fool and it is what it is.
Chris has a running list of football fans and guys out there, maybe girls too, that have something coming for them once your Steelers, if your Steelers happen to beat them.
Yeah,
next year.
I took it pretty hard yesterday, and that's fine. I mean, it's all good. I took it from this guy right here too, and he's got one coming.
By the way, back in
he thinks he's going to get on me when the Steelers beat my team. I don't have a team, so he can't get on me. My team is going to be whoever wins the Super Bowl, unless it's the Patriots.
So he's a bandwagon jumper now.
Sure.
Okay, front
absolutely.
Runner.
Come on, Joe. I've been with the Browns this long. You can stay with your Cincinnati Bengals. They at least won 7 games this year. And brought
back a coach that can't win a playoff game.
At least he didn't bring back a coach that went 1-31. I really don't want to hear it at this point in time. I'm being honest. Hugh Jackson, you want to hear? Here's my fact of the day, all right? And Hugh Jackson has exactly one more win as a Cleveland Browns head coach than I do, okay? In two freaking seasons. So, I mean, you complaining about the Bengals. I mean, I understand. But, I mean, you're just like comparing.
I want change, though. And I mean,
I will say this. That person that was a fan of the team that was 0-16 and their horrible fans, selected fans, through a parade for not winning
a
game.
But that was for a good cause,
He did not get on me not one time yesterday about the
Steelers. Did I even tell someone to calm down? I said, give him a day.
Didn't even say a word. That is a true fan of leaving it alone because he knows that it's going to come back around. You and some other people out there, it will come back around.
Trust me, I promise you. Trust me, I know.
You better go get that butt cream now because there's going to be some chafing and some butt hurt after that. You better go get it now.
Okay, hey, I want to mention this. 2004 NFL draft. That's when Blake Bortles was selected third overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow.
I said at that point in time, I'm sorry, did I say 2004?
Yeah.
Let me go back to this. There's no way it was 2014.
Sorry, what the heck was I thinking?
2014 NFL draft. That's when Bortles was selected. I said at that time, out of all the quarterbacks in the draft, that he was probably going to make the best pro. And other quarterbacks taken in that draft, you guys want to try and guess some?
2014?
Yes, sir.
Shoot. Oh, my goodness. That's, what, 4 years ago.
I'll let you know the Browns took one.
Oh, was that that was Brady Quinn, wasn't it?
No.
No?
No, that was way before was that. Wow, I Manziel, I would
it
guess.
It was that, yep, Johnny Manziel taken by the Browns, pick number 22 in that draft.
I agree with what you said.
Teddy Bridgewater, the last pick in that
but
draft.
He's been successful. And
Bridgewater's been successful.
Derek Carr, second round successful. Pick.
Would you take Teddy Bridgewater in Cleveland?
I don't know if I'd take a flyer.
What about the rumors of Kirk Cousins right now?
He's not going to Cleveland. So
the biggest rumor right now is Alex Smith.
Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins has also been, okay, entertain me this. Would you take Case Keenum? Because
he ain't leaving.
Bottom line is, okay, he may not leave Minnesota. But if he does, he's not the third string quarterback. Look, think about this, right?
Keenum may follow Shurmur wherever he goes.
Shurmur's probably going up in Arizona.
We'll talk about that game in a minute. But you're probably right. But I guess we'll wait and see. But I think Cleveland's got some options out there to take a good quarterback.
With the number one pick?
No. Oh. In the draft, in free agency, to get a good quarterback, a good vet, and build around that guy, and let Deshaun Kizer sit and learn, I think that's their option. But that's here nor there. All right. Go ahead with your Blake Bortles. I don't think Bortles is
No, I was just going to say, my point was, it's not like Blake Bortles is one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. But still, in terms of that draft class, I mean, he's the best one going out of all those right now. I mean, Carr can't stay healthy. He hasn't won a playoff game. Here's Bortles. He's won a couple playoff games. But anyways,
Carr was in that draft, too?
Yeah, he was second round.
He's going to be really good. But
36 over now. He has Gruden.
I think
how many times did Bortles, some of the throws he made work? I mean, he's an atrocious thrower.
It's funny, though. What? He was compared a little to Big Ben when he came out in the draft. He's big, a little mobile. Can move around in the pocket.
He had some really good runs on third down that killed Pittsburgh yesterday.
Let's get to that second game.
Yeah, that game
yesterday. The game that was the ending for the ages. You know, I was rooting. I didn't care who won this game. I liked both teams. I would have been okay with whoever won this game. It's kind of cool to see Minnesota win because if they win one more, they're at home for the Super Bowl, which is really cool.
I was rooting
which
for
is never ever ever.
You see all the signage around there. Bring it home. That's their kind of hashtag
for
this
Minnesota.
Year.
I think it'd be great. I mean, I think that'd be a cool deal.
But, you know, look what they did. They win, obviously, in the last second, last play of the game. Stephon Diggs.
You hear this, by the way? Did you hear the call of the last play?
I have heard it, but go ahead and play it.
For Facebook Live, here's the radio call, the Vikings' last play yesterday, the 61-yard touchdown to Stephon Diggs.
10 seconds to go, 24-23 Saints. Vikings at their own 39. It's third down. Three receivers right, Thielen left. Marshawn Lattimore, 12 yards from Adam. Case on a deep drop, steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side, caught by Diggs.
Stay up!
Oh, he got loose!
Oh, my God!
At the 30!
No!
10!
Way.
Touchdown! Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish!
It's a Minneapolis
no
miracle!
Way.
Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings have walked off on the New Orleans Saints. It's a 61-yard Minneapolis miracle!
Could I maybe one day as a Browns fan be that happy over a football game?
I mean, that was...
But an ending for, really for the ages. Minnesota got up early in that game, 17 to nothing. Then the last really 20 minutes of the game was just complete pandemonium. The Saints, they scored all their points in, what, with the last 20 minutes or so. Four lead changes in the final 3 minutes and 1 second. The Minnesota, they put... nice drive together, got a field goal, right, to take the lead. Yeah. And it's funny, they ran through the montage of Minnesota playoff field goal misses.
Then
the dude nails one. Then the Saints go down and retake the lead. And at that point, everyone pretty much thought the game was over.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did. I thought, man, when Lutz hit that field goal at the end, I thought,
he blasted that thing too.
Yeah, and they got a good, you know, they got a play on fourth down to Willie Snead that, you know, and how about that pass Willie Snead just missed earlier in the game? Yeah. But Willie Snead, you know, caught that ball, and I thought, man, that's going to be it. They saved their timeouts. They were able to take them, you know, with, what, 25 seconds left. He kicks the field goal. And I'm thinking, man, that's just no time. You know, Case Keenum, if you're the Minnesota Vikings fan, okay, and you come into the season and they say, hey, your third-string quarterback is your starter this year, Case Keenum, how are you feeling? I'm thinking, hey, guess what? Thanks, great season. We're building for next year, boys. All of a sudden, Case Keenum comes out of the woodwork, and now all of a sudden, he's in the NFC Championship game. Had a couple missed throws. You know, they tried to get a big chunk. They did get a chunk to Stephon Diggs earlier. And then 10 seconds left, it's like, look, we've got to hit the sidelines. He chucks it up in the air. Diggs goes up and gets it. And just prior to that, the New Orleans safety goes to take Diggs out, thought better of it, and kind of moved his body. And I think it was totally that he didn't want to get called for another pass interference call and get set up at the 20-yard line and bowling balls his teammate, which could have made the tackle. Diggs could have crawled into the end zone.
But did he do the right thing, the Saints defender? Because do you take the pass interference there?
Or take it.
I mean, you give up a touchdown.
Hey, you have to make that hit. You have to somehow make sure the receiver does not catch that ball no matter what. But, and if you interfere with them, you interfere with them. And then hope maybe you can block a kick or they miss the kick. But you can't let that guy – you can't let him catch the ball no matter what.
Yeah. But how do you know that the ball is not over his head? Or, you know what I mean? Like, that's a split-second decision, and that's another reason why you tackle with your head up, because he would have known that. But he didn't. He put his head down and thought, hey, look, I'm not going to hit him. If the ball's over his head or it tips off his fingers, then I'm going to be the scapegoat because they're going to get the ball at the 20.
But who are we to say that the officials would have thrown a flag there? Say if he did make contact with them. Yeah. Because really, that could have decided the game. We all know the officials don't want to decide the game.
That split second that he had to make that decision,
yeah.
I mean, it had to be made right now. Uh-huh. And he made it. And you could say wrong, right, or indifferent, Minnesota goes to an incredible walk-off.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That made my day a lot better, to be honest with you.
Williams, for the Saints, that defensive back, I mean, he had a roller coaster of a game, highest of highs, lowest of lows, because he had the pass interference earlier in that game, which maybe had him thinking on the last play of the game. Yeah. Didn't he also have a pick in that game?
Sure,
I mean, talk about
it. Beautiful pick.
Yeah, talk about, I mean... Now, that kid, though, I don't know what he's thinking today. Yeah. But Chris asked a good question, Joe. Where does that play go down in history in terms of NFL playoff games?
It'll be one of those plays that you see on opening billboards to playoff games, and it'll be one of those plays that you see for years to come, just like you do the Music City Miracle way back in, what was that, late 90s or something like
early
that?
Early 2000s, yeah.
And that this is going to be one of those plays that you're going to see for years to come.
The Music City Miracle, the Immaculate Reception, the head catch of David Tyree in the Super Bowl.
Head catch, yeah.
James Harrison's 100-yard, or you could do San Antonio Holmes' toe tap.
Those San Antonio.
That's what I said, San Antonio Holmes.
You said San Antonio.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Whatever. San Antonio Holmes' toe tap or this play. I mean, incredible.
Did you notice there were three Steelers plays in there?
I mean, but all three of those were great plays, were they not?
No.
They weren't.
No, the James Harrison was lucky. He just, I mean, that was just...
That's one of the best plays in Super Bowl history?
No, one of the best plays in Super Bowl history was Joe Montana hitting John Taylor to win the game.
I agree with you. No, You mean Dwight Clark in the end zone?
No, it was John Taylor against my Bengals.
Okay, and Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone was another
that
one.
That was NFC Championship, yeah.
But you know what? That's
those are the plays.
100-yard interception.
Those are the
return.
Plays you think about.
Yeah.
I think about 100-yard interception return.
I would, too, if I were a Steelers fan. But, no, that play will go down in
nice to me. You get extra kudos this week, next year.
Next year. I just hope your team doesn't beat me twice like they seemingly do each and every single season. Some of the best playoff games I've ever seen, really. This goes down as one of the all-timers. Another one, Vikings-Saints. Remember when Brett Favre was quarterback that year for the Vikings?
Oh,
and they played the Saints in that NFC Championship game.
The Saints won the Super Bowl?
Saints won the Super Bowl that year. That was one of the greatest playoff games that I've ever seen.
How about the Vikings when Gary Anderson missed that field goal, and that was when Randall Cunningham was the quarterback?
Vikings-Falcons, yeah.
Vikings-Falcons. That was another
That was back
great
in like
game.
97 or 98. That was, we're showing our age.
I mean, I still think, you know, regardless of what people say, I think that the Denver-Cleveland games back in the 80s were just – those were two classic games.
But
I mean,
if we were to go into this NFL postseason and say, all right, guys, final four teams, quarterbacks are going to be Tom Brady. Okay, yeah, we get that. Then you have Blake Bortles.
Who?
No.
Then you have Case Keenum.
No.
And you have Nick Foles.
No.
Exactly.
Here's a good trivia. Could you tell me where Blake Bortles went to college?
Yeah, UCF.
Where did Foles go to college?
Not the same school, did he?
No.
I don't know where.
Arizona.
Okay.
What about Case Keenum?
Houston.
Very good.
Yeah. Did you know that Nick Foles and Case Keenum were teammates with the St. Louis Rams? And there's a picture of them talking back and forth, and the meme was hey, I'll meet you in the Super Bowl in a couple years.
Hey, I'll see you in the NFC Championship
game. Yeah, meet you to go to the Super Bowl in a couple years.
That's pretty good. Of course, Saturday, though, Philadelphia over Atlanta, 15-10. Kind of shocking that Philly's still winning these games. They were a home underdog. A lot of folks thought Atlanta would win it. Falcons just didn't make enough plays in that game.
They didn't. Yeah. And, you know, they struggled to get the ball to Julio Jones at the end
Their
of the
offense
game.
Struggled in that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, they did. And unfortunately, Sarkisian looks a little overwhelmed right now as offensive coordinator for the Falcons. But Matt Ryan, he's still a great quarterback, great player. I think that team's a really good team. I just think they ran into the hotter team in Philadelphia and playing at home.
I think
if it was in Atlanta, I think Atlanta wins that game.
Yeah, but you might be right in that dome, in that new dome with that crowd. It could have been a different game in Atlanta. Matt Ryan, MVP last year. This year, numbers a little bit down. A lot of that, I think, has to do with his offensive coordinator last year was Kyle Shanahan. Now that dude's head coach for the San Francisco 49ers.
How do you say that the Philadelphia Eagles are hot? They were terrible at the end of the year with Foles. Really, let's be honest. Look at the numbers. Atlanta was one of the hotter teams in the NFL. In my opinion, it's kind of like going back to the Steelers thing. It's another great team that had the potential to be in a Super Bowl and failed, in my opinion. Matt Ryan is a great quarterback, an NFL MVP. Should have been, I mean, their run game let them down. Their defense let them down. That was terrible.
If you're not the New England Patriots, it's hard to get to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. And that's what the Falcons were trying to do. What do you mean?
Seven is the number for New England now. Seven AFC championship games straight.
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
Seven straight AFC championship games.
It makes me want to throw up.
Eight straight. It was like a 9-8-7. Nine straight years that they've been the number one seed. Eight straight years that... It was really impressive what they built.
Well, there's parity. There's parity for you right there. Of course, the Pats over the Titans Saturday night, 35-14. Sunday, championship Sunday. Of course, on Friday, Big Z Sports will kind of break those games down. The Jags at the Pats and the Vikings at the Eagles. As of right now, New England 9-point favorites. And wow, Philadelphia home underdogs again. Minnesota favored by 3.5. Already billboard material right there for Philadelphia.
My personal opinion, I'd like to see Minnesota
Jacksonville.
In Jacksonville. I can't Amen. Stand New England. But Amen. You know what? You can never can count Tom Brady
Oh,
out.
I would love two teams that's never won a Super Bowl. I'd absolutely. Love to see Jacksonville and Minnesota
in
the
okay
Super Bowl.
And I'm okay with Philly, too. I mean, if Philly...
You know what? Philly's never won one. I'll be all right with Philly.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that.
I'd be okay with Philly or Minnesota. That'll be a good game. I think it'll be a good game. And exciting to watch.
Let me ask you guys this trivia question, then we'll move on. Besides Brady, who's the best remaining quarterback in these playoffs?
Based on a performance this year that's playing, I would probably
who's
say
the better
Case
quarter?
Keenum.
Who would you want on your team? Who's the best quarterback?
Probably Case Keenum.
I would take Nick Foles. Nick Foles, look at what the season he had.
I don't even think I can answer that question.
2013 or 2014, had 7 touchdowns in one game, threw 28 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions that year. I think I would take Nick Foles.
I'm gonna write that down because that may be, I mean,
how about this? Think about this.
On Friday,
Tom Brady has more Super Bowl wins than the remaining quarterbacks in the playoffs have playoff wins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth.
Super Bowl wins.
Is that not crazy?
Compared to combined playoff wins for all 3 of the other quarterbacks.
That's pretty nuts, right?
That's absolutely crazy. And like I said, I'm rooting for Jacksonville at all costs. And if New England gets into the Super Bowl, I think
that's
NFC.
The worst case scenario for New England was Jacksonville because
yeah,
I think
because
New England
they got a linebacker.
I think New England knew that they could beat Pittsburgh. I don't know if they think they can beat Jacksonville the way because of their speed and what their defense does.
I think New England's pretty happy with the matchup.
I think so too because Pittsburgh
they're pretty happy. But I tell you what, Jacksonville, if they come out like they did against Pittsburgh and prove to me the more physical, that's the one thing that shocked me not to go back to make my final point. Jacksonville came out and they were the more physical dominant team.
They knocked them around.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh, which is, I mean, the shocker of them all.
Put pressure on Brady and you can beat him.
Yeah, really any quarterback. Yeah. College basketball.
Yeah.
We'll go back to Friday. MAC action, Mid-American Conference. Kent State over Ohio, 70-69. Saturday from the Big Ten, another upset. Michigan State fell. Michigan beat them.
They're struggling.
82-72. They are struggling.
They are struggling a lot. And ever since Ohio State lost, they have really struggled. And first of the year, yeah, it's a typical Tom Izzo team, though. It seems like after the first of the year, they get into league play. It seems like every year they struggle a little bit, and that's exactly what they're doing right now. Is they're in that Tom Izzo struggle.
Akron over Bowling Green for MAC action, 80-78. Overtime, this was a thrilling game. Number 9, Oklahoma, beat number 16, TCU, 102-97. Number 10, Xavier, they beat Creighton, 92-70. Cincinnati beat South Florida, 78-55 on Saturday. Then yesterday, a little nightcap after all the NFL action. Ohio State beat Rutgers, 68-46. We'll see if that's enough to get Ohio State into the top 25, which I'm looking right now. The rankings, they're not out yet.
Yeah, and the Buckeyes remain undefeated in Big Ten play at 6-0. They've won 5 in a row, and the Buckeyes now 15-4. Kata Bates Diop with 20 points, 9 rebounds. Cam Williams added 11 points. The Buckeyes now play Northwestern on Wednesday. Look, 15-4, and you just knocked off the number one team in the country. You've won 5 in a row. You're still undefeated in your conference, tied with Purdue. And how are you not in the top 25?
I tell you what, I think they get in this week, and especially what I like to see was, I was really worried earlier in the week about the Maryland game last week. That was after they beat Michigan State. Then I was worried about a letdown, but they ended up beating Maryland in that game. Then they go on the road and beat Rutgers. If they would have dropped maybe one of those games after the Michigan State victory, I don't think they'd be in, but I think they're in this week.
Yeah, they're about 5-6 wins away from being an NCAA team, no matter what happens, they're going to get that.
My thought on the Buckeyes, I don't want them ranked right now. Keep them off the radar. Keep them down away from the rankings because you want this team grounded going into the later part of the season. If you look at their remaining schedule, Northwestern, they have Minnesota, Nebraska, Penn State, and they got Indiana, which is always tough.
Purdue,
you got to play Iowa. Hopefully the basketball team can beat them and revenge for the football team. Purdue's number 5 in the country. Purdue's playing very, very well, and that game's at Purdue, and that's coming up February 7th. So, you know, continue this momentum that you have. Stay under the radar and get there. Get more confidence. This team has a lot of confidence right now, but I think Chris Holtmann still has a lot of work to do. We'll see what type of coach he is when they get knocked down a little bit after the successful run they've had and see if they can get through some adversity.
But he's the first Big Ten coach that started 6-0 in his first season in the Big Ten. Okay, and then you talk about disrespect right now for the Big Ten. They've got 2 teams that are ranked. Michigan State, who's on a slide, and Purdue, who is tied with Ohio State atop the Big Ten.
But they're 17-2. That's why they're number 5 in the country.
Not a very great season this year for Big Ten basketball.
And the Lady Buckeyes on that side, the number 10 Lady Bucks defeated Indiana 77-62 on Saturday to push their record to 16-2, 5-0 in the Big Ten. Stephanie Malgumba led the way with 20 points and 18 boards. Kelsey Mitchell, 15 points. And Lenny Harper dropped in 19. The Lady Bucks play number 23, that team up north, for the second time in 10 days tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Malvanga really playing very well for the Lady Bucks to go with Kelsey Mitchell.
Yeah, Kelsey Mitchell from Princeton High School in Cincinnati. See, she has 3,000 career points now for Ohio State, doing good things there for the Lady Buckeyes.
She may get her number in the rafters after all that.
Yeah, that's she's very good, very good basketball player.
Could be the leading scorer all time in NCAA history. Wow. She can catch that girl that just broke it from Washington. She's going to need to keep pouring in 37 like she did last week, though.
I tell you what, no matter how good of a basketball player you may be or what team you're on, still you're going to struggle from time to time, especially in an 82-game season. Cavs in one of those ruts right now. They've lost three in a row. Friday, they fell to Indiana 97-95. Before that, earlier in the week, they lost to Toronto by 34, 133-99.
They're not a bad team.
And they're playing really well right now. Toronto, they lost by, one or two to Golden State the other night. Then Minnesota beat the Cavs earlier in the week, 127-99. So Cleveland hasn't even amassed 100 points in their last few games. Of course, like I mentioned, all three are losses. But all that can be thrown away if somehow, someway tonight against the Golden State Warriors, they get a victory.
Yeah, 3-7 in their last 10 games. Yikes. They are currently third in the East, 7 back of Boston, 4.5 behind Toronto. But like you said, tonight, 8 o'clock against the Golden State Warriors. A good way to get a feel-good win and get back on the right track. But, of course, starting the locker room grumble now all of a sudden. Players saying Ty Lue's his rotation and substitutions are not what they are favoring. What do you think? Is this team going to let these outside distractions, or I should say inner distractions, end up becoming outside distractions and blowing this thing up? What do you think?
Last Cavs season, you guys remember talking probably about the same story, same kind of narrative. They still end up going to the finals.
Yeah. Sure.
2 years ago, probably the same thing, right?
Well, that was the whole Blatt deal.
I mean, I'm not too concerned, really, at this point in time. It's January and a long season. LeBron knows what he's doing. It's hard. Listen, when you're the oldest team in the NBA and you've been to the NBA Finals 3 years in a row, it's hard to get up on a Tuesday night for the Minnesota Timberwolves, all right? I'm just being factual. It's just the way it is. It's just how NBA players think.
Well, they should be up tonight.
They'll get up for this game tonight.
They should.
The last game they got up for was the Christmas Day game against Golden State. Really, the Cavs have been on a, you know, 2-3 week holiday vacation ever since then. Golden State, they've won 6 of the last 7 meetings against the Cavs. But at the Q, just 2-4 in their last 6 are Golden State. So we'll see what happens tonight at 8. There's a bunch of other good games on the NBA schedule for today, Martin Luther King's Day. Do you have the list over there?
No, I don't
NBA
have
games?
The list. I was just going to say the Warriors, they got the best record in basketball, 35-9. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They hold a 3.5 game lead over Houston and a 6 game lead over San Antonio in the West. They're playing very good basketball right now, sitting, 8-2 in their last 10. We'll see what happens. Steph Curry's been on fire like he usually is.
Some of the other games for Martin Luther King Day on Monday, January 15th. Obviously, the Warriors visit Cleveland, the Hornets and Pistons. We've got the Bucks and Wizards, the Spurs and Hawks. That's not really a good game. The Hawks aren't doing that well. I think the Knicks and the Nets could be an interesting game, that rivalry there for those two guys.
Raptors-Sixers up there at 1. I think you skipped over
Raptors, that one. Yeah, Raptors-Sixers, you're right. I'm sorry, I missed that one. You're looking at a couple others, Rockets and Clippers. That's a late game tonight.
That could be a good one.
And that's really about it. Lakers and Grizz. But Raptors-Sixers, that could be a really good game.
Yeah, other than that, Bucks-Wizards will be a good one. Hawks are horrible. The highlight is going to be the one that, that we're talking about. Golden State favored by 5.5 points. But Ty Lue will have some decisions to make here soon in terms of rotations. Is there a trade going to happen? Obviously, that's the front office's decision right there. But you know what? We'll find out after this game tonight. The only thing I'm concerned about is the Cavs' defensive woes because you can't take those bad habits into the playoffs. So.
And still waiting on the whole Derrick Rose deal. I mean,
what is that dude doing?
He says he's coming back, but he's still in street clothes, and all he did was have a twisted ankle, but he's been out for 2 months, and who knows what's going to happen. But they got to stay healthy, and I'm sure they'll be fine. Like we said a couple years ago when Boston was the oldest team in the NBA, chipping a seat. Doesn't matter if they're an 8 seed or a 7 seed, as long as they get in, They got a chance to win it, and the same is going to be true with Cleveland.
The Cavs, rest of this week, Thursday versus Orlando, then Saturday against Oklahoma City. That's a little primetime game at 3:30 on Saturday. Of course, the NFL is now pretty much winding down. You'll start getting these basketball games on Saturday and Sunday night.
I'm not ready for basketball yet. I'm still in football mode.
Oh, you can go to hockey. I mean, the Penguins have won four in a row.
All-star games in a month
almost. Middle of February.
Once that gets out of the way, then we're all.
Can't go to hockey?
No.
The Pens have won four in a row, baby. Ooh. They're hot.
They won. They beat the Rangers yesterday.
They beat Detroit on Saturday. The hated Red Wings. Yeah, and they had their five games off in the middle there. Their goaltender, Matt Murray, dealing with some personal issues, some family issues. He's been out the last few games. So Tristan Jerry's been
your resident Penguins fan.
Done a nice job.
Hey, one more time. Tell everybody Facebook Live brought to you by who?
Facebook Live, of course, brought to you by Speedy Septic and Drain Cleaning in Strasburg. Make sure you give them a call, 330-878-5423. If you need an inspection, you need your septic tank pumped, drain and sewer cleaned with camera verification, make sure you call Speedy Sewer and Septic Cleaning. They are there to help you keep your septic out of sight and out of mind. Your septic system needs to be pumped and maintained to eliminate costly and messy backups. Make sure you call Speedy. They are there to handle all of your liquid waste removal needs.
And a quick high school, middle school, Bill Love from Indian Valley just sent me an update for some games for Indian Valley tonight. Middle school boys basketball at Indian Valley and Ridgewood. That game has been canceled, same as the middle school girls game versus Ridgewood is canceled, according to Bill Love at Indian Valley. So that's an update. And also a quick NFL breaking news. The Tennessee Titans have agreed to part ways with head coach Mike Mularkey. So Tennessee now looking for another head coach.
Yes, they are. And hopefully that former head coach comes back home to Pittsburgh.
Before Chris has a couple final nuggets. Before Chris has a couple final nuggets, on this day in history, this would have been 51 years ago. The Green Bay Packers beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl I.
Wow.
On this day, 1967.
Wow.
Just a few years before that, the Browns won their last championship, 1964. Yep. Chris, sad news from over the weekend. A couple of folks passing away in the sports world.
Yeah, a couple legends passing away. First, we'll talk about racing legend and innovator Dan Gurney, died at the age of 86 on Sunday. The Big Eagle was the first driver to ever win in Formula One, NASCAR,
great nickname,
and
Big
IndyCar.
Eagle.
The Big Eagle, yep. He was the first one to win in F1, NASCAR, and IndyCar, was one of the world's most prolific drivers and one of the highest regarded American drivers ever. He also started his own team in the mid-60s called the All-American Racing Team. That stayed true all the way till 2011. Over the course of that time, his IndyCars have won 78 races in open wheel and sports cars, including three Indianapolis 500s. One of the greatest cars to ever innovate at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Eagle chassis. It defined aerodynamics and innovation. Just a sad day for the racing side. He was, of course, a U.S. Army vet as well. Dan Gurney, dead at the age of 86. And then, of course, near and dear to all of our hearts, Keith Jackson passed away at the age of 89 on Saturday. He broadcasted college football, the NFL, the NBA, and Joe, I'm not sure if you know this, but 11 World Series games, or 11 World Series, 10 Winter and Summer Olympics, and also auto racing and the Indianapolis 500.
You had it right the first time, World Series.
Yeah. He also coined the phrase, of course, the granddaddy of them all. Did you know he also nicknamed Michigan Stadium the Big House?
Yes.
And, of course, he was known for Whoa, Nelly! Keith Jackson, dead at the age of 89.
You know, Keith Jackson was one of the reasons I got into radio and doing something I love to do, and he was one of my favorites growing up and will always be one of my favorites. I was actually thinking about Keith Jackson back around New Year's Day when all the games were playing. I'm like, man, I miss listening to Keith Jackson play, and it's just ironic that he passed. I honestly, back when I was thinking about that a couple weeks ago, I'm like, is he even still alive? You know, and I looked it up. I'm like, man, he is still alive. You know, he's 80, whatever he was. And I'm like, well, that's really cool. I'd like to see what he's doing nowadays. And then, obviously, died yesterday.
Or... Yeah, 89 years old is what he passed away at. I really consider him, I mean, the best way I can put it, he was the John Madden of college football. Oh, yeah. Really, if you think about it. He was on all the video games back in the day, the college football video games. Of course, the Whoa Nellies and everything else, his catchphrases. If there was a big game in college football, Keith Jackson was there. He was there for the 100th Ohio State-Michigan game. Yep. He was also a part of the very first ever Monday Night Football game, which took place where, gentlemen?
Don't know.
Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. Very first ever Monday Night Football game. Browns and the Jets. Keith Jackson was in the booth for that. It just says another name, sports legend, really, in the broadcast booth. Dick Enberg, of course, a few weeks ago passed away. Now Keith Jackson right behind him.
How about his final game, Eric? The final game Keith Jackson called in college football.
Well, probably one of the top five greatest college football games of all time, not the 06 Rose Bowl, which was the national championship, USC in Texas. Vince Young is his run for the roses, so they say in Texas.
And one of my favorite games, and we'll leave you guys with this. Again, this podcast brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. We'll talk to you Friday night beginning at 6 o'clock, but we're going to leave you with a Keith Jackson of one of my favorite plays of all time back in 2003.
It has a local tie, too.
Very local tie. Pay attention to this. A local tie for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Keith Jackson made the call for the 2002 National Championship for Ohio State.
It is fourth down, the final play, unless they can stick it in the end zone. Andre Johnson, Roscoe Parrish, and Kellen Winslow, and Dorsey under pressure, throws in. Incomplete. The Buckeyes win. C. Grant was the man who pressured Dorsey, and now the party begins for the Ohio State Buckeyes. They are 14-0.
Thanks for listening to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Follow Big Z Sports on social media, on Facebook at WTUZ Big Z Sports, on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports. This has been a presentation of Big Z Sports.
Jeff here at Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, your power sports headquarters. Does your power sports vehicle have knobby tires? Then we are the dealer for you. Stop by our showroom and check out our huge off-road inventory. Not only are we a franchise dealer of KTM motorcycles, we also carry parts and accessories for other brands including Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki, and Yamaha. Get off-road with Action Extreme Sports, located just off I-77 in New Philadelphia or at AESRacing.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.